Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 53 for September 19th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real Mother Effing News. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before I get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMovies.net. So introduce our panel this week for our special on chick flicks. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Alonzo.
We've got Gebbo Trek.
Howdy.
We've got Gallifrey.
Hello, boys.
And we've got Will.
Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. And this episode came from one of our listeners, Isabella. She said, hey, why don't you dudes review some chick flicks and see what happens? The hilarity will ensue. But I've also thought it was important to have a female panelist on this one to defend the chick flicks if she can. The onslaught of attack. So we'll see what you could do. But you know, if there's any well-opinionated woman I can get on this panel, it's Gallifrey for this episode, and I'm glad to have her. Let's get into our first movie. This is probably the worst movie of all time, in my opinion, but I'm sure some of the females will debate. This is Twilight.
You're impossibly fast and strong.
You gotta give me some answers.
I'd rather hear your theories.
I have considered radioactive spiders and kryptonite.
It's all superhero stuff, right? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?
You know what you are? Your skin is pale white and ice cold. You don't go out into the sunlight.
Say it out loud. Say it.
Vampire.
Are you afraid?
No. This isn't real. This kind of stuff just doesn't exist.
It does in my world. Oh, I just want to try one thing. I don't know how long I've waited for you.
What is going on?
Security guard at the mill got killed by some kind of animal.
An animal?
My family, we're different from others of our kind. You brought a snack.
What, now he's coming after me?
The hunt is his obsession. He's never going to stop.
I'd rather die. And stay away from you.
He's got unparalleled senses, absolutely lethal.
I'll do whatever it takes to make you safe again.
You're faster than the others.
But not stronger.
I'm strong enough to kill you.
You are my life now.
Twilight. This is give you a brief description of, I guess, my opinion.
You need to give a description, really. That's cool.
Right. Yeah. We'll get to the point here, and then I'm gonna give my notes on because Kebbo Trek and I watched a couple of these chick flicks this weekend. Get my notes and throw it to the panel. But essentially, for those who have not seen it, Bella, played by Kristen Stewart, goes to a small town, meets this vampire guy. Another vampire tries to kill her. He protects her, and whatever, some bullshit. So that's pretty much. I'm gonna give you my notes that I wrote down watching this movie. First of all, Kristen Stewart is not hot. Why would you cast her in this movie? The over narration was ridiculous. It was literally like somebody reading a book to you. Why is she happy about getting a rundown piece of shit truck? That I didn't understand.
Because it's a truck.
Yeah,
she's
but
16.
It's like
she wants
this.
This to drive with a truck.
It's this hunkered down piece of shit. She's like, oh, I got this truck. Oh, it's
so
great.
She's supposed to be a very independent, down to earth kind of girl. So getting a truck
for her is loads better than clothing, because she doesn't like that kind of stuff. She's not a girly girl.
But it's a piece of shit. Like, it's the biggest piece of shit truck I've ever seen. Anyways. Why are the school people overly friendly to begin with? Usually,
yeah, I saw that too.
What's with that?
I mean, like, no, what I found weird is that especially the Asian dude was like really like kind of creepy towards her. There's some creepy things going on.
He falls into the line of the 10 top things for chick flicks. Actually, Heavyset sent me this, and I'm going to read this quickly because we're going to go through each movie and see how many of these we can knock off. So these are the 10 most done things in a chick flick.
Cliches,
yes. The makeover montage, the singing into random objects, the either quirky, sardonic, or sassy best friend. You've got to have a one-night stand with and realize it's your boss the next day. Somebody has to slide down a wall crying. Alternatively, they could be laughing and crying at the same time. You have to have an inappropriate elderly person. You also have to have somebody chasing somebody from going somewhere to stop them from doing something. You also have to have like a headshot that falls into frame, such as like in pillows or something. The winning over speech with little details about the other person. Falling in love montage. The public declaration of love. And the pretending to be somebody else or having a kid or falling in love with somebody because of a bet. So those are our cliches. This actually hit four of the cliches. The first one being the sassy best friend, the Asian guy. We've also got...
Really? That's not sassy. I thought sassy was the Jessica
girl. I find
he
was a bit sassy. The headshot falling into frame. We've also got the falling in love montage and the public declaration of love. So it actually wasn't too bad.
No, you also have the chasing someone for them not to do something.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we've got five.
That's
I can't believe
true.
I missed that.
Near the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where were we? Yeah, okay. The overly friendly school people. And hold on. Why was there like the token black dude, the Asian guy? It's like a town of 3,000 people up north, and they've got every race and religion speakable. And also, how come the class is so big? Like there's several hundred students in the class, one particular class, and there's a town of 3,000 people. So like half of your town is ninth graders, apparently. Also, you've got this like the beginning of the movie, the vampire guy. I don't know if it's Edward or James or whatever, whoever it is. The vampire guy is randomly staring at her like he needs to take a dump or something, like just randomly massive staring.
No,
at her.
I understand this one. He's staring because he can read people's minds, and suddenly she shows up with her scent.
Yeah,
he can smell her. And he cannot get a reading from her.
And he can't read her.
Okay, because it just looked like he needed to take a shit or something.
Oh, that's because he can't read her mind.
Okay. Yeah. Also, everybody keeps saying she's hot in the movie
she's not
attractive.
She's not.
In her defense, okay, except for her lips, you know, her mouth, which I don't like because she keeps them kind of half open all the time. Aside from that, I found that her portrayal of Bella was pretty good, because Bella in the books is really intolerable. But Kristen Stewart's Bella, I can tolerate.
Is it because they wanted to cast somebody that's not that attractive so that the ugly people like watching the movie can think they might have a chance with like...
I don't think it's unattractive, just someone normal. I would say more like someone normal.
Someone normal and someone very pale, which you know what they did. Kristen Stewart is very pale.
Yeah,
she's supposed to be very pale and very plain looking.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though: if you got somebody like staring at you really hard like that, wouldn't you want to fucking stay away from them? Like, wouldn't that be the first sign? Like, this guy's fucking creeper. I'm at it. No, she's like totally drawn to
it. I don't know. You don't. Maybe we don't know women, Keith. Maybe that's what they're into.
That's it. But also, like, he sounds retarded when they first start speaking.
Yes, yeah,
he's a total dick. Like, he's randomly walking away during the conversation, telling her to stay away, and then he goes to see her 2 minutes later.
Well, you know
it seems like women like being treated like shit, apparently.
Yes, it seems like it is.
Also, how come nobody notices the vampires are ridiculously pasty white?
No, they do, but they keep themselves. They just like, these are weird people, we just leave them alone, their own little corner.
They do notice that their family is weird.
Yeah,
they're all
they
together.
Know.
I mean,
they're
all dating each other.
I got another thing. The fact that she grabs his hand and it's cold turns into like random Google searching, and then, oh, you're a vampire.
Like, no, there were more things to it.
No, but it's, oh, you're cold. Oh, I'm going to go on Google and look up cold hands.
Wait.
Oh, she's a vampire.
There was the super speed too.
No, I can. Okay, but, aside. Yeah, the super speed was really the big one. But I can explain because in the book, she's so stupid. She cannot figure it out for a long, long time when people are telling her these things. And you, as the reader, are reading this and you're like, hello, he's a vampire. And she doesn't get it in the story. She's so slow. So in the films, they kind of up her intelligence a little bit.
The way I was able to go through the movie was just saying, you know what? These are her version of vampires. Fuck it. It's not anything close to what I think. But, you know, it's her movie, her book, whatever. But then she brings in Google search vampires, and that makes it look more like our world, right? If you and I were to Google search vampires, we know that we would see like, they can't go into sunlight. They burn up. There's, you know, all these different things.
No reflections, cannot come in a house uninvited.
No, all that's, it cannot, all these things that this movie does not have. So when you bring in this idea that, oh, it's a vampire because we know what vampires are in our world, that is not at all what a vampire is. I'm going to go in a bit later. When you discuss stuff later on, I'll chime into how this fits into that and how that kept frustrating me. That was the one big deal for me.
Also, the vampire guy is like 100 years old. This is pedophilia, what he's doing.
Yes and no.
But it's acceptable because he looks 17.
No, it's not. No, he doesn't look 17. It's different. He's perpetually 17. Because, for example...
Yeah, but he's like 100 fucking years old.
No, wait. You know that when we age, we mature as well, right? Like, our brain matures. Certain parts of our brain don't develop
until
later.
They didn't explain that in the film. You're assuming that.
No. It's how it is. The guy
passed college like 4,000 times.
No, but it's not that.
He obviously...
Yeah, but you don't get it. He only passed high school. He actually doesn't know stuff beyond. These guys are not... He is perpetually 17.
What William is trying to say, and I think not explaining very well, is that...
Thank you,
Gallifrey.
So nice of you. So nice of you.
Listen. Our brain continues to grow and mature and adapt even beyond 17 years old. But since Edward had died at 17 years old, we, I guess, assume that his brain didn't mature beyond that.
That's
so
correct.
It's like he is 17 years old forever.
Yeah, but he's not a zombie. He didn't die.
Yeah,
he just got turned into a vampire.
No, he's dead.
You do die.
He's dead.
The poison kills you and you become a vampire.
Yeah, no beating hearts.
But you're not dead because you're alive.
No, he's dead. No, vampires.
He's not an undead. He's not a fucking zombie.
Wait, vampires are undead.
Vampires are undead. They're special undead. Yeah, they are.
He's immortal.
No, zombies keep decomposing. He does not. He is dead. He's not living. He's not have a beating heart. He's not alive.
That's why he's cold.
Does he shit?
No, they don't sleep. Remember, they don't sleep.
Well, yeah, but why is he drinking blood?
That's the point. They don't sleep.
They
don't
piss the blood out.
He doesn't crap. The blood. I think the blood in their universe is just to make up for their lack of running blood. Could that make any sense? They need life force to sustain themselves.
Shit out blood. Like,
he's in shit. No, there's not. There's no eating. There's no sleeping. These people are just perpetually that age.
First of all, it's hard to debate what makes a vampire, since Stephanie Myers decides to make up her own rules.
Yes.
What vampires is. So I guess we just assume he follows some of the rules, and I'm going to assume that he doesn't have a heartbeat. So his blood shouldn't run. So technically he shouldn't be able to have sex, but he does.
No, but he does, but whatever. Not in this movie.
Okay, what's with the glittering in the sun? That's like the gayest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's not related to anything.
I'm sorry. The guy's a hunter. He does all this crazy, flies around. That's okay. But then I'm in the sun. Oh, I'm glittering like I'm at a friggin' 90s dance club or something.
Well, I'll tell you
what
I find weird about this is that the whole point of – I could see how, you know, dating a vampire is kind of like this cool thing. But it must be a repercussion to being a vampire. Do you know what I mean? It's the whole point of watching like Buffy and all these things is that these creatures can be fantastical, but at the same time, they're cursed. This does not seem like a bad curse at all. There's nothing bad about being a vampire. There's only pros.
What do you mean there's nothing bad? If you go in the sunlight, you look like you're
no,
in fucking
get it,
glee
but you're
or
not
something.
Burning. You're not burning. You're not stuck in the dark. You're not... You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but you're walking around like someone kick your ass. If I glitter all over my face, then people be punching me in the face.
Yeah,
like,
but you wouldn't be the only one glittering, though.
Well, fortunately for them, they picked a city where it's always cloudy, so they don't glitter.
Yeah. It's a good thing they didn't pick Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I got another bone to pick with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the Bella character, this idiot. Okay, this vampire wants to eat her, suck her blood, but he still wants to hang out. It's like identity crisis king here. But he admits to where he's killed people. He's like, I just want to suck your blood and eat you. She's like, yeah, I don't care, whatever.
Wait. No,
she's not scared. She's not scared of him.
She's an idiot. Like, I'm sorry. Any woman, if I come up to you, Gallifrey, I've never met you before. First of all, I'm staring at you hard, like super hard. And I'm like, you know what? Like, I've killed people and I want to stick my fucking teeth into your neck and suck your blood. And you're going to be like, yeah, that sounds good. Let's, you want to go for a movie or something?
Hold on. What? First, the question is, are you freaking hot like Pattinson? If you are,
you're telling me if it's an attractive male, he comes up to you and says, I want to fucking eat your neck and I've killed people. You're like, sure, yeah, that sounds good.
Wait, but isn't that the point? That makes sense. Isn't that how True Blood works, the show? No, anyways,
Vampires in mythology are supposed to have this kind of allure about them that attracts people.
So why isn't everybody trying to fucking kill?
No, I took this very differently, though. I took this film very differently in the fact that I don't know why I care so much. But the way I saw it was that this girl had an interesting relationship with her mom, and it was all going well, but then her mom remarried. And now she's stuck going back to this life that she didn't really care much for, and she's looking for a way to escape it. There's this fantastical aspect to it that she just wants to be part of. That's how I saw it.
After that, you got like Meet the Parents Vampire Edition.
I like that. I don't know. Did you mind that? Was that really so horrible, old school?
But the creeper starts like, I like watching you sleep. Been coming in your room for the last two months. Right. Like, I'm sorry, but that's usually a sign a guy's a fucking whack job. So if you're not seeing the point that I want to suck your blood, if that doesn't work, like I've been in your room for fucking 2 months watching you while you sleep and follow. What the fuck? She's a fucking idiot. I'm sorry.
I don't have a defense for that. I don't have a defense for Edward's actions because that's how he was written. But I have to say that as a book turned into a movie, this film was pretty accurate. It left out some of the bullshit from the books and it created a film that is just short enough for us to be okay with it, and the characters are not so annoying as in the book. So I don't think I would have done anything differently from this movie, because you know what, the material is from the books. What you're criticizing is all from the book. Okay, so it's not really the film. The film did a good job at bringing this book to life.
All right, I got one more thing. You got these seven vampires protecting you. This is one guy who looks like Christian Cage or whatever, the wrestler. Like a younger Christian. He's trying to take her. At Bella.
Yes.
And then Bella's got like the seven vampires who are protecting her. So fucking Buddy calls her up and says, yeah, I got your mother here. She's like, oh, okay. I'm going to leave all the seven people who can take you out and fucking run there and get myself killed because I'm a fucking idiot. Like, it's not like he said, don't bring your boyfriend. He didn't say, he's just like, okay, fuck everybody else. I'm just going to do the dumbest thing possible. Leave out everybody else and run and take you out. And, like, first of all, that's dumb. And so, you know, she got her ass kicked. Really got her ass kicked. I was this is one of the protagonists. I was actually rooting for the bad guy. I wanted him to fucking take her out. Chop her head off. She's a fucking idiot. Like, if she's that dumb, first of all, you got stalker boys following you around. You're into him. Then you fucking leave all your vampire. It's just the stupidity of this character. Yes. Made me wanted her to die.
Yeah,
like,
the character is really bad. I agree fully.
I agree, because she could have said to him, yes, I won't bring someone, and then actually bring someone. She could bring her whole gang, right? Because what was she thinking? One little human girl could fight him off and save her mom? She would just go there, and let's say her mom was taken, she and her mom would die. So yeah. It was pretty dumb.
Now I want to talk about this part, because
I'm sorry, this is my diatribe. It's like a 30-minute rant here. This Kembo Trek or Heavy, you guys want to chime in on this at all?
There was no way in hell I was watching that movie. No way in hell. It sucks.
I'll chime in briefly, I guess.
I know I've ranted a bit, but figure I'd cover most of the points.
Yeah, I mean, this movie was beyond terrible for me. As a guy, I was offended for how women were portrayed in it. Like, I just thought, like, they portrayed her as such a needy, like, just so needy. It's like, oh, I can't do anything without you. I can't live my life without you. And while I was watching it, I'm like, are women really like that?
Oh, God, if you thought this was needy, wait till you see number two, New Moon.
Oh, she commits
suicide. He's not watching New Moon. He's not going
to
watch.
Yeah, but this is the scene that really got me was the bedroom one. And like when he's like, I've been coming in your bed and watching you for 2 months. And she didn't like have a reaction to that. She didn't be like, okay, this guy's a stalker. I don't know. It felt like such a de-evolution of women. It's like I was back in the 1880s or something. It's
a step back for women's independence and.
Yeah, that's and so when I was watching them, you know, I was shaking my head. I'm like, I don't understand how anyone finds this romantic. If I had to say one good thing about it, I guess it would be that the Pattison and Stewart have good chemistry. So I guess at least there was that. Yeah,
he was staring at her for fucking 2 hours. Yeah. How was that chemistry?
I thought they had good chemistry in their scenes.
Really? Including when they were in chemistry class?
Oh!
Actually, I think it was biology. Whatever.
It's something like that.
No, but that's when he went all fucking retarded that's mid-sentence, see ya, what? Where are you going, fuck?
Yeah, I mean,
I'm going to go fucking glitter in the sun like a douche.
Like I said, I don't see how anyone can find it in the least bit romantic or why any woman would want that kind of romance, but I guess that's just me.
So the part that really upsets me in the film is how they take the vampire mythology and crap all over it. There was a great scene set up where it was going to be her going after that Christian-looking dude vampire in a place full of mirrors. And I was like, oh, this is going to be brilliant. There'll be this great shot where you'll see him behind her, but he won't be in the mirror, and she'll just be her alone. She'll have to look, and she won't know what's going on. He can see her, and she can't. And that's all just lost because nobody gives a fuck because he has his own reflection. So stuff like that I found really odd. Oh, by the way, the reason why they don't have a reflection is because vampires are technically dead and their souls have moved on. So because you only see your reflection is actually reflecting your soul and not your body, because they don't have a soul, they don't see their reflection. Anyways, that's just the mythology behind it.
Gallifrey, do you have any points you'd like to defend this movie?
No, I was actually a bit offended by that dance studio scene because I was also hoping that they don't have reflections like in their vampire mythology. That way they have a weakness about them, you know, something different, something superhuman. And I don't like Stephanie Meyer's vampires. I love it when my heroes, in this case, are full of angst and they're cursed in a way. And I feel like Edward Cullen is not cursed at all. There's nothing wrong with him. He is super fast. He's kind of strong. He looks normal except for a little bit pale. Yes, he can't go in sunlight, but who wants to? You have to tan. So there's just nothing there. There's no downside to being a vampire, and he's not unhappy. I want my vampires to be unhappy for a long, long time because until they find the girl they love, and then he's like, oh, yay, I found happiness. That's how I want my vampire-human love story.
Wait, wasn't Edward alone for 75 years until he found Bella?
He wasn't alone. He had a whole family. And he was still in high school. Like, he was in society. I'm a huge fan of Angel, and I love the fact that he was in the sewers for most of his life because he just felt like he was inferior to humankind because he was just a beast. So he was in the sewers alone for a long time. He wasn't.
Can vampires fuck other vampires?
So that I just don't like Stephanie Meyer's story. But for the film, I thought the film was okay because the first time I saw it, I didn't hate it. I hated the book. I was so bored reading the book. And then when I watched this film, I thought, oh, it's not so bad. So I thought this film was okay.
Yeah, I agree. As a movie, it's whatever. It's not like you think it's the worst thing in the world. I think as a film itself, as an adaptation, it's perfectly fine. And as a movie, it's just it's run-of-the-mill normal stuff. There's nothing too big about it. It's just a high school romance with an extra factor put in. That's all it is.
To me, this movie was the equivalent of taking a needle, and I don't like needles.
Wait, but you know what? I'll tell you one thing. I watched the movie to the end. It wasn't super boring. The movie The Bodyguard, which you had us watch, I could not finish it. It was pathetically boring. So at least it wasn't that.
Talking about pathetic, our next movie, Eat, Pray, Love.
You will live a long time. Have many friends, many experiences. You will lose all your money. Don't worry. You will get it all back again. And you will come back to Bali. And then I will teach you everything I know.
When some guy who, yes, looks a little like Yoda hands you a prophecy, you have to respond.
I get it. It's your life raft right now.
Just like a couple of years ago when you were completely consumed with being the perfect wife.
Mom, when did you accept the life you had?
Oh, my baby. Always searching for something.
Your underwear, my queen.
Just folded my delicates.
Oh my God, baby, you are in so much trouble.
You know how people start resembling their dogs? You used to look like Steven. Now you kind of look like David.
I need to change. Since I was 15, I've either been with a guy or breaking up with a guy. I have not given myself 2 weeks of a breather just to deal with myself. You want to go away for a year? I used to have this appetite for my life, and it is just gone. I want to go someplace where I can marvel at something. I'm going to Italy, and then I'm going to India, and I'm going to end the year in Bali.
Having a relationship with my pizza.
This is my no carb left behind experiment.
If you could clear out all that space in your mind, you'd have a doorway. And you know what the universe would do? Rush in. Everything else will take care of itself.
Eat, pray, puke. Starring Julia Roberts. Quick notes from me here. Out of nowhere, she has a problem in a relationship. She seems to be going really well, her and the husband or whatever. And then they have some conversation in the back of a taxi. And he's like, yeah, I might want to go to school. And then she's like, yeah, I think we're done. We're breaking up. It's just like fucking out of nowhere. And she starts like, she's in her apartment. She's praying to herself saying, I'm in serious trouble. Like 5 minutes ago, you were fine. And now it's just... I don't know, man. Instead of eat, pray, love, I say it should be changed to live your life, enjoy what you have, and shut the fuck up. Kebo Trek can agree with me here. Within 5 minutes, I wanted to punch this character in the face.
Yep.
We both looked at each other. Like, just you stupid, pretentious bitch. Like, I don't think I've ever hated a protagonist ever in my... Like, literally... I would have been happy if this was a short movie and she got hit by a car within 5 minutes. Because the husband seems like such a good guy. Like, they're in the divorce proceedings. He's like, you know what? Maybe we should take a break. You know, let's talk. But she's like, nah, fuck this. I'm done. Like, out of nowhere. Just, like, 5 minutes fucking ago, you're fine. And now it's, oh, I got to have a life change. You know what I mean? Then she lands up with James Franco for, like, 10 minutes. And James Franco comes out with the line of the year when he says... You didn't always make me miserable. So that's, to me, like, that's, but that's her. Like, just, she's just never satisfied. She's just trying to get away from everything she's got, which is good. Like, what are you trying to fuck with a good thing? And every time she's talking in this movie, Kevin or Maya looking at each other and just like, shut up, stop talking, I hate you. So basically, Eat, Pray, Love is Eat, Pray, Love. It's 40 minutes of her eating, 40 minutes of her praying in fucking India, and 40 minutes of her meeting the guy from No Country for Old Men. So, and then, like, she's in Italy, she's eating, and you got these super stereotypical Italians with the, like, like they're from St. Leonard or something. They're just ridiculously over-the-top Italians. Also, you get the, like, when she goes to India, like, none of them have teeth, and it's just, like, super stereotypes.
So much anger in you, old school.
Oh my God, this movie just enraged me. I've never hated a protagonist so much in my life.
Wait, what about the Twilight Girl?
I hate her a lot less than this one.
Oh, wow.
Julia Roberts' character, I literally would not blink an eye if she got hit by a bus.
Oh, dear.
And it's actually one point where she does get kind of run off the road by the No Country for Old Man guy. And I'm like, that's where you should have ended the movie.
Wait, who is it?
He hits
you. Oh, Javier Bardem, yeah.
Yeah. Bardem hits her. She goes, she crashes, she hits her head, and she dies. That's how you end the movie. There's also this thing, they pull on the heartstrings. Like, she's... with some doctor in Bali, and they don't have enough money for a house. So she's like, oh, because it's my birthday, I'm going to email all of my friends and have them buy him a house. Like, she apparently has enough friends who give $18,000 to buy a house. Like, I'm not giving you that kind of money on your birthday because you're in fucking Bali and you think you're the queen shit. And you're like, oh, well, you know, because I'm in Bali, I'm all important. You spend money and buy a house and make me look good.
That's true. Why didn't she spend her own money? How much does she spend?
Well, that's the thing. Like, she apparently loses everything in the divorce, but she can afford a year-long trip to Italy, India, and like, what the fuck? Where are you getting this money? And it seemed like a complete waste of a year. Like, apart from getting away on vacation, like, she could have done that anyways. Said to her husband, say, you know what? I need to take a break. Let me go to Italy for a month and just relax and get my shit together. Instead of, nah, it's over. Fuck you. I'm done. You know? To me, the only alternate ending that makes sense is Bardem fucking takes her out. Either hits her with the car or takes her with a shotgun, and you make that the prequel for No Country to Old Men.
No, dude, one of those pressure pumps. Like, air, with air pressure. Like,
just whatever, fuck. Just have her die halfway in the movie. That, to be honest, 10 minutes into the movie would have been better, but wow, there's a lot. Wait, I think I've got some anger issues or something.
Old school. Since I haven't seen this movie, I want to ask you, okay, do you think this movie is a good movie for women to watch and kind of find?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because the thing is, and I'm going to be stereotyped, this is probably why I'm single, women are never satisfied.
Old school. No, no, no. Since Godfrey's not next, I can say this. You're right.
She's got fucking everything. She's got a husband. She's got a house. She's got all this money. Now, fuck this. I got to drop everything, go to India because I'm the queen shit.
What does she get out of the trip?
Nothing. She fucking prays for 10 minutes.
Did she get Bardem?
Eats a bunch of pasta and fucking meets some Buddhist dude with no teeth. And, like, she just goes and meets some other guy. Like,
but I want to know, is Bardem so much better than whoever she was before?
No, he's the same fucking dude. He's got a boat. That's it.
Ooh, a boat.
You know what?
Going plenty of fish.
You know what? Like, I asked my mom what Bardem did, and she's like, actually, I think he was, like, scamming these people over in Indonesia. Because they're not rich in Indonesia, and yet he is. So he's like finding ways of making money out of these people. I don't know. Anyways,
I don't know. It's from the male perspective, it's the most frustrating movie in the world because I want to punch the Julia Roberts. And I don't advocate violence against women. I don't believe in it. But I would make one exception for this character in this movie.
Oh gosh.
Hey, sorry.
Old school. It's your birthday soon. I thought of getting you that book for your birthday. Wouldn't that be good?
Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be a great gift. I'll never speak to you again. I'm fucking banned for life.
Wait.
You're banned from this show.
Among you guys, who has read the book? Nobody?
Are you serious?
No, it's a serious question. Okay, no one. All right.
No one.
I thought maybe you'd have a very insightful input.
Well, you know, the book, she was a lot better in the book because she ate more fucking pasta. She prayed for 2 months more. Like, what? I don't get the movie. Maybe it's just the male in me. I don't get it. It fresh. Cause I was looking at it analytically. I'm like, okay, I'm going to give this movie a shot. And I was so frustrated at this character who just is not happy with fucking anything. It's just like, you live in the first world in fucking New York. You have all this money. What are you not happy? Like, what? It doesn't make any sense to me. By the way, this filled out 6 of the 10. Cliches, the sassy best friend, we've got the laughing and crying at the same time, the inappropriate elderly person, the chasing somebody from going somewhere, the falling in love montage, and the public declaration of love, by the way. So it fits 6 of the 10. Kebo Trek, you've seen this, would be, is there any points that I've missed here in my rant?
I actually thought the movie had a bit of potential, but like you said, within a couple minutes, you know, I just wanted to punch her in the face. She had a great boyfriend, a great job, a great life, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, my life's so terrible, I gotta go find myself. So I think, like, as guys, I don't know, maybe like women who've seen it would think differently, but it just set you on the wrong foot right from the beginning. Because I actually think there was potential with, like, you know, trying to find yourself and all that. But when you hate the protagonist from the very beginning...
Like, within the first 3 seconds, I hated her.
Yeah, that's it. So, I mean, it's like, it's hard to kind of root for her and want her to win when, you know, you just want to deck her in the face and...
And again, we're not advocating violence towards women.
But
in this particular case,
I have a question. I want to know, is the theme of this movie that, okay, she's unhappy with her life, she goes away, and once she finds herself, she realizes what she had all along was very good?
Not really, no.
No, she's still she doesn't know what the fuck's going on. She's still lost.
But that's the thing. Like, I didn't find they explained at all, like, what was so bad about her life. Like,
it was fine.
Like, oh, her, was it her husband? It was her husband. Like,
yeah, you know what it stemmed down to? There was a flashback of, like, him playing the wrong song at the first dance. So, and that was, like, the big thing. Like, imagine, I'm fucking ending the life with this guy that I've committed because he plays the wrong song at the first dance during my wedding.
That should be
what the fuck, man?
Be means to joke around. Like, it could be an inside joke for them all throughout their marriage. Doesn't have to be ending their marriage.
She's just, like, she's fucked up. And I was happy to see at the end the guy found a fucking wife and had a kid, like, within 3 months or something.
Good.
Like, it worked out. Like, he loses the crazy bitch, Julia Roberts.
He took all her money, too.
And he takes all the bitch's money. Good. And he's fucking – see, that's a good ending.
A great ending.
But the only way that it could have made it better is if she got hit by the car and died. That would have been, to me, the best way to end it.
Like, I just wish they would have – explained why she was feeling the way she did. You know, maybe she felt stagnant, maybe some other reason, but they really gave no explanation for it, so it was just really hard to root for her.
But do women need an explanation?
Well, no, but I mean, while watching a movie, give me even if it's something little, give me something where I could understand her perspective, because I didn't get it at all. Like, I would trade lives with her in a second, you know, great.
You'd marry a man.
Yeah, exactly. But I actually, like, the part in Rome, like, if it was another character, I don't think I actually would have minded it. Like, it wasn't super entertaining, but it wasn't like,
it was okay.
Yeah, I don't want to punch my face, like, myself in the face watching it. Like, it wasn't like, you know, it's kind of interesting where she met some people and, you know, kind of started to hang out with them. That happens when you go to Europe. But when you have an unrootable character, and then after the first act, it gets extremely, extremely boring. It's just really hard to...
She's sitting there fucking praying in India for 40 minutes. Yeah, sitting there scrubbing the floors and shit. And the dumbest part of it, is she's like, I came to India to see this guru, whatever. And the guru's in New York. And like... You idiot. Couldn't you have figured that out before you flew to fucking India? Like, what do you – I don't get it, man. Maybe it's just a male thing.
No.
Women are probably watching this and, like, go out.
My mom liked the film, but she found the part of India really shitty.
It was very dull.
Yeah, very dull. She should have liked – you know, she would have preferred it without that part.
I think in the end, at least for us, it comes down to that – the lead character was just completely unlikable and unrootable.
I think you have to do this with Scarlett Johansson and a lot of full frontal nudity. I think that would have saved
it. Hey, wait, I was going to talk about saving the movie. Kev, what if at the end Bardem, like, he puts his hair all blonde and then he asks Julie Roberts, have you ever seen what cyanide does to you?
There you go. See, that, to me, that's how you make the movie.
And the thing is, like, I don't even understand why, but I don't remember the character's name, but I don't understand why his character would even want to be with her.
She's a pretentious snob.
It's just
All right, so yeah, go check this movie out. All right, let's get to the proposal.
Well, hold on, I have a question for you.
Go for it.
Which movie did you like better?
Twilight.
How about you?
Without hesitating. And I hated Twilight, and I like this. I've never hated a character more in my entire life. That's awesome. All right, let's get to the proposal.
You're cutting it close.
Oh, come on!
Good morning, Miss Tate.
I need you around this weekend. You have a problem with that?
No, I just, my grandmother's 90th birthday, so I'm just going to go home and it's fine. I'll cancel it.
Is that your family?
Yes.
They tell you to quit?
Every single day. Margaret Tate's office.
This isn't about my second raise, is it?
Margaret, your visa application is denied. You're being deported.
Deported? It's not like I'm an immigrant or something. I'm from Canada.
If you're deported, you can't work for an American company.
If there was any way at all that we could make this thing work.
Pardon the interruption.
I understand the predicament, but there is something that you should know. We are, we're getting married.
Who is getting married?
You and I are getting married. Yes.
We are.
Getting married.
We are getting married.
Yes. Can't find a love like ours. So, are we good?
Make it all legal and we'll put this whole thing behind us.
I'm not gonna marry you.
If you don't, you'll be on the street all alone looking for a job.
Have the two of you told your parents about your secret love?
We're going to their place this weekend.
Oh, where's that? Alaska.
Alaska.
Where's Andrew's room?
He'll sleep in here with you.
We love to snuggle, don't we, honey?
Huge snugglers.
Breakfast for the happy couple.
Oh, my God, what is that?
I'm sorry.
What is it?
It's the morning.
This summer.
How can you be around someone who made your life so miserable?
Sweetie.
Honey.
Some proposals change you.
Why don't you get married here tomorrow?
Let's see a kiss.
Why don't you just do it really fast?
Ah. For better or worse.
Give her a real kiss.
Sandra Bullock.
Hello?
Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my God!
Naked!
Why are you wet?
The proposal.
Maybe a tad loose in certain areas.
I'm a bit chesty to begin with. It's like an Easter egg hunt.
There they are.
Yeah, that's
it. We got the inappropriate elderly there, Betty White.
Guys, this movie is so funny. It's amazing. Come on, this is way better than the other two.
Okay, you know what? I was ranting on the first two, so Gallifrey, why don't you start us off?
I love this film. I saw the trailer and I laughed out loud, so I was like, you know what? I have to see this movie. And it paid off. Sandra Bullock was hilarious. And Ryan Reynolds, he was kind of overshadowed by Sandra Bullock, but he made it work too, because he's supposed to be, you know, younger and a bit awkward and annoyed at his boss, and she's his boss. So it was very cute. I love this film.
Because she played this role before, like the Miss Congeniality type role, the quirky, kind of clumsy authority figure.
Yes, but she's more tough in Miss Congeniality. Here, she's just more assertive. There's a difference.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on the proposal?
When this first came out, I actually rated it, I think, 3.5 stars on Flixster. Going back and looking at it, I think if you were to take Betty White out of this movie, I would probably give it 2.5.
Because
I think
she was good in it.
To
she
me,
was good.
To me, Betty White is a lasting impression I have on this movie. Like, before rewatching, the only thing I could remember was Betty White.
Dude, come on, didn't you guys laugh? Didn't you like the part where she tries to find internet in Alaska?
I don't know, it's chick flick humor. Like, maybe I just have a different sense of humor. I don't know. I wasn't liking it too much. It got some soft laughs out of me, but I remember, I didn't really enjoy it.
It's like what you were saying about Ryan Reynolds being overshadowed by Sandra Bullock. Well, I think at the same time, when it comes to a lot of the funny parts, everything was just overshadowed by everything Betty White. Because this was like right in the middle of Betty White just started being everywhere and being hilarious. And I to me, like, this was part of it.
All right, let's run down the checklist. Did we have a makeover montage?
Well, her getting dressed in her wedding dress. Yeah. Does it count?
Okay, check. Singing into random objects? I don't think so. We did have a sassy best friend. The one night stand, yeah, technically it does count, so that's 3.
Wait, they didn't sleep together.
At some point they did, no? Didn't they get drunk or something, if I remember correctly?
I don't remember them sleeping together. But okay, you're probably right.
Any sliding down the wall crying?
No, nobody cried. This movie's a happy film.
We got the inappropriate elderly, Betty White. Any chasing anybody from going somewhere to stop them from doing something?
Yes.
The shot, the heads falling into frame?
No idea.
The winning over speech with little details?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds, yeah. Falling in love montage, the public declarations of love,
yes.
And the pretending to be somebody else, yeah, because he's pretending to be in love. So there you go. Got about 8 of them there.
Yeah.
All right, let's end the chick flick episode with actually something that's apparently not too bad. So we're going from, I guess, worst to first.
Yes, so you enjoyed it.
He's Just Not That Into You.
Well, I would love to call you sometime. Do you have a card?
Of course.
Oh, great. Look forward to hearing from you, Gigi.
Oh, wait. Are you hearing from me or am I getting a call?
We'll talk. We'll get in touch.
Oh, oopsie. You did it again. Very vague. You know what? Let's just say that you'll call me and then we can skip all the nonsense.
Goodbye, Gigi.
He was cute.
Yeah, please don't cyberstalk him.
You don't ever feel
Like we're going against nature by not getting married?
No.
Going against nature is like the cat who suckled that monkey.
I'm married. I don't do this.
So we're friends.
Yeah.
You know, you may be the best friend I've ever had.
I think I figured it out.
He is not interested. Monday you can fall apart. Tuesday, Wednesday, break my heart. On
Thursday, doesn't even start. It's Friday, I'm in love. Call your voicemail.
Oh, Mary, Mary, Mary.
I was just calling to tell you again how special it was to meet you. Call me back.
Oh, Jenny, Jenny, Jenny.
I was just calling. Well, what number did I just dial?
Oh, messages erased.
This is starring, wow, Ben Affleck, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Connelly, Kevin Connelly, Bradley Cooper, Drew Barrymore, Scarlett Johansson, Justin Long from the Apple versus PC commercials. Essentially, nine people in Baltimore deal with their respective romantic problems, usually thwarted by differing ideals and desires of their chosen partner. The center of this is Gigi, a young woman who repeatedly misinterprets the behavior of her romantic partners. Who would like to start on He's Just Not That Into You?
I will. I'll give my impression of them, I guess just me going on about how much I love this film, and then you guys can critique it.
Go for it.
I love this film, you guys. I was late watching this, but I found it after everybody had talked about it a lot. And so when I started watching this, I didn't know what I was getting into, and I was very surprised that it was actually a kind of an intelligent film based on a book. First, I want to go talk about this separate, I guess, stories that were in there. I really love Jennifer Aniston's story because it was about a woman who was not satisfied, like the Julia Roberts character, only in this case, she's not satisfied by how her boyfriend would not propose to her. And so
she actually has a reason.
She has a reason. So you watch her, and it's very short, but you watch her be upset with him. And at the end, afterwards, she realizes that, you know what? She loves this guy so much, and he's so great to her. She doesn't need that proposal. But of course, yeah, there's a happy ending. And then you have Jennifer Connelly and Scarlett Johansson and Bradley Cooper's story together, where it's just like this this couple who's married, and there's something missing about in their relationship. And of course, the guy cheats. And anyway, all three of them in the end find themselves through their story, and they figure out that maybe they're better off alone instead of, you know, attached to someone. And you have also Drew Barrymore's character, who is the perfect example of a woman who's just so comfortable with herself. She's confident, whatever. She doesn't have a big role to play, but I like that she was there to show that there are other women there who don't have the problems that our main characters have necessarily, because she doesn't have big issues. So it was nice to see her there.
Hold on, a woman without big issues?
Yeah.
What?
Truly, her character had no problems in that film.
Was she like a man? Or
no.
Was she like is she playing for both teams or what?
No. She was just put in there so that we can see a contrast between the woman who has a good head on her shoulders and compared to Jennifer Goodwin, who keeps misinterpreting men's actions and words. So
that's the one from Big Love. She's the one from Big Love.
I don't know. I know her from Once Upon a Time, the TV show.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And I love her character because her story is that she gets advice from this guy, Justin Long, I believe, and she
the quirky best friend.
Starts off with the best friend who teaches her that not every nice word that a guy says means he's into her, or don't read so much into guys' actions, you know, just take it as is at face level. And she learns from that and becomes better, and also she ends up having kind of romantic story as well. And he also learns that sometimes it's good to have a bit of faith, a bit of hope in love. And so everybody gets away with some nugget of information, you know, And I like that. Every character here learns something in the end.
Does anybody die?
No. It's a happy film. Come on.
I don't know. I get this dark side to me or something.
Well, wait. I want to talk to Geoffrey about something. Wait, so your favorite story is the one about
the guy who doesn't propose, and she realizes the guy is so great that he doesn't need to propose, right?
I'm not advocating that men shouldn't propose here. Because in the end, he proposed. There, I spoiled it.
Yeah, but she was fine with him not doing it, so it worked out.
She was fine with him not doing it.
Playing tricks.
He finally proposed when she was fine with him not proposing.
She's a better woman than most people. Most women will not be fine with that. But I'm just saying that
most women are like Julia Roberts, who want to go to Italy for a year and go see people with no teeth in India.
I'm just saying, in the end, she saw his point of view, and in the end, he saw her point of view, and they both compromised and figured out what it is they want to do with their life.
Oh, and they had the happy ending in the chick flick. What a surprise.
All right, shoot, guys. What do you have to say about this film?
I guess I'll
go for it, Kev.
Yeah, because I watched it today. And I like some part of it, but there was some I really didn't like. The main story between Gigi and Alex, like, I was complaining about it a lot, but it just, to me, it felt insulting to women. It's like, you have this character who, she can't do anything without thinking about her man, being obsessed with her man. And when I was watching it, I was just like, am I back, like, in another time? I had trouble just trying to understand where the character was coming from, and it was portrayed as so, so needy and, like, borderline obsessively needy. So, like in Eat, Pray, Love, I wasn't rooting for the main character again just because of how they portrayed her. So I wasn't rooting for the character. I wasn't rooting for that love story.
But I don't think she comes off as needy. It's just because she wants to understand the men, what they're thinking. And it's hard for her to understand it. So then she needs to know, what is it you're thinking? Do you like me or do you not? Tell me. And that's why she comes off as kind of obsessive about it. But I think it's nice. It's sweet that she's someone who is so into romance. She really adores romance and all the beautiful things about it. You know, for her, when she falls in love, it has to be, you know, sunshines and daisies. I thought that's sweet.
Oh, God.
You know, she'd go on one date with someone and then she'd obsess over him. Like
no, I'm sorry. That's a mental patient.
That's the kind of girlfriend that would scare away pretty much every guy. I couldn't get past that.
Well, yeah, she has some issues, but she learned afterward not to be
issues.
She learned not to be so demanding in that aspect.
I guess if I had to sum up the movie, I didn't like the main story at all, but most of the others I thought they did a pretty good job with. I like that not everyone got the happy ending. Not everyone ended up with someone.
When we're talking about happy ending, what are we referring to here?
Oh, must you always go that way?
Scarlett Johansson is in this movie.
Yeah, that's true. So no, but I like that they, you know, I liked some of it. I didn't like some of it. The problem being I didn't like the main story, which got the most airtime, which I guess it's to be expected, but you take that away, and it was a pretty decent movie.
Heavy, you want to chime in here?
No, I got nothing. I got nothing else.
All right, let's end the show on how we would change the movies. You look from the male perspective. How can we salvage this movie for a male audience? We're going to start with Twilight, and we'll get my thoughts. But 20 minutes in, Blade enters the movie, chops all the vampires' heads off, and throws them all in the fire. Credits. That's how I would end it. Anybody else want to throw their two cents in?
I'd like Buffy to come right in and tell Bella that she's stupid and that she shouldn't be happy that vampires are stalking her, because Buffy would just kick their asses.
And then Blade comes in and takes them all out.
Sure, they can team up.
All right. That okay for you guys? Would you do anything differently?
I'd nuke the town 3 seconds in.
Yeah, you know what? Nuking the town might be good, because then they can't reproduce and they're done. You just, you have the president find out that there's vampires. He's like, fuck it, I have to nuke the town. And he just nukes it. And you make it a short film.
I think when this movie was in the theaters, what they should have did is have poison gases come in while you're watching it, and you're immediately dead. Because the only thing worse than Twilight is the Twilight fans.
Agreed.
You heard it here, folks. Okay, Eat, Pray, Love. How would we change it, Kev?
Get a new main character. One that's actually a bit rootable.
Yeah, make it Jessica Alba and make her do nude scenes like for 3/4 of the movie.
There you go. That works.
Eating Italian food. That could work.
Stopping right after eat.
There you go. All right. The proposal, we change this in any way?
There's nothing I change.
More Betty White, less everything else.
Yeah, there you go. Three quarters of Betty White. Have Betty White be the main, like, female lead. And she has to marry Ryan Reynolds. See, that would be a fucking good movie. Okay. He's not that into you. How would we change it?
Probably make Gigi less exaggerated. You know, less dreamy. She's a bit dreamy and obsessive.
Anybody else?
I agree with Gallifrey, and I'd also add 2 hours of Scarlett Johansson in lingerie.
What?
Hey, I'd watch that movie over and over.
There you go. Let's close the show. Closing show thoughts and plugs. Let's start with Heavyset.
You know what? Doing this whole chick flick thing, we first threw up Eat, Pray, Love. In my head, for some reason, I was thinking Julia and Julia, which I think is another really bad chick flick movie. And as far as plugs go, I think right here is where you should play my commercial that I sent you by email like half hour ago.
What's up? It is Heavyset, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
There you go. Check them out, kayfabesportsradio.com. Gallifrey, let's get your final thoughts.
I don't really have much to say, except that I'm very happy that you guys included some of my favorite movies, The Proposal and He's Just Not That Into You. And I'm very happy to hear that you guys did not like the two films I did not care for. So, cool. We do think alike, women and men. See?
There you go. We can agree on something. Will, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Okay. Well, just final thoughts for now. There are good chick flicks out there, so we shouldn't like just bash them entirely. My favorite chick flick of all time is 10 Things I Hate About You, and I recommend everyone to check it out. It's a retelling of Shakespeare's Taming of the Shrew, and it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Heath Ledger, so you get to see Robin and the Joker hang out in high school.
Kebo Trex, get your final thoughts.
If I ever have to do another chick flick marathon again, I'm quitting the show, so...
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you know what we should do instead? We should just, like, watch a whole bunch of, like, hardcore 80s Van Damme movies instead.
And you know what? Speaking about that, we might just be having that in about 3 to 4 weeks' time. So check your Facebook for your invite, Will.
I was going to throw it out there real quick. Old school, you'll be happy to know I looked it up. Eat, Pray, Love, you hate it so much. Do you know what that movie debuted up against?
What did it debut up against?
The Expendables.
Yes. See, that's how you end it. You have all the cast of The Expendables go to Italy and take her and her fucking crew out.
Who made more money?
And actually, Julia Roberts' brother is in Expendables, too. Yes, I haven't read about. So
is that the one that dies?
Eric Roberts. He's also in Dark Knight.
Yeah. That's him.
All right. So for Kebo Trek, Will, Gallifrey, and myself, thank you very much for listening. Let's end out on the cheesiest song of all time.
And Heavyset.
And Heavyset.
How was I supposed to know that something wasn't right? Oh, baby, I shouldn't have let.
Come on, everybody. Everybody.
What, things?
Yeah. How you want it to be. Tell me, baby.
Half of the kiss is saving me.
You sound like a total creeper, Will. You're like,
this
is killing me.
Popsicles.